Well, if you're with us today and you have your Bibles, we'll ask you if you would, if you could, please, ma'am, and please, sir, won't you join us as you stand to your feet in the New Testament book of Romans, at Romans chapter 10. And for today, we're going to take our signature text from Romans chapter 10. And verse 17. And so when you'd be able to find it, just say amen. You're still looking, seeing. Just say faster. Hold on. Relax. Calm yourself. We're going to look today. Prayerfully, this is a familiar text to you. At Romans chapter 10. And verse 17. This is what the Word of God says. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we're going to have a message from the sermon subject today. The premise, prerogatives, and purposes of preaching. The premise, prerogatives, and purpose of preaching. Lord, I hear a shower of blessing, sounds of blessing, full and free, sounds of thirsty, so refreshing, let some drops down fall on me. Lord, I hear showers of blessing, showers of blessing, full and free, showers of thirsty, souls refreshing, let some drops down fall on me, even me, Lord, even me. Let some drops down fall on me, even me, Lord, even me. Let some drops down fall on me. Once again, my brothers and my sisters, the word of the Lord comes to us from the New Testament book of Romans, Romans chapter 10, and it begins at verse 10, and it's all the way down to verse 17, where the word of God comes to us and says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth men, rather, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For is there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath rather believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Also, we'll have this from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, at Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. This is what the scripture says there. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Also from the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians, at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, this is what the scripture says. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Once again, my brothers and my sisters, we're going to have a word here from the sermon subject, the premise, prerogatives, and purposes of preaching. Let us look to the Lord. Eternal God, we bless you. And we thank you, God, again for another opportunity, God, another chance, God, to serve you. Thank you, God, forever the day, that you called us out of the darkness and into this marvelous light, God, for this group of people, these sheep of your pasture that you gathered from out of your world, God, to this place. We ask, God, now that you would send down the anointing that will qualify the preaching. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my every strength, and you are my redeemer. Won't you please now, God, hide me behind the cross of your son, Jesus Christ. The songwriter once again said, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. It was the emblem of suffering and of shame, but I still love that old cross because on it the dearest and the best for a world of lost sinners were slain. We pray these things, God, so much so, God, that your people would be edified. We pray these things, God, again, so that that mean old devil, the accuser of the brethren, would be horrified. And most of all, God, we pray these things so your name, which is a strong tower, will be glorified. Amen. Well, it's good to see you again, my brothers and my sisters. How's everybody doing? How's everybody? Don't be so quiet. Sister Michelle hasn't done anything, has she? Has she done anything yet? I want to say hello, 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 first to the Father, Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Somebody shout out, hello, Holy Ghost. Come on, loosen up. Move to the end of your seats. Hallelujah. He's not that serious. Amen. Move to the end of the seats, your seats. And also to you, these ministers, these preachers, these pastors that serve here, we thank God for you and for them. I see that they left me all alone. Oh, we're in trouble right now. Amen. For Pastor Don Ponikvar, y'all please continue to pray for him and his wonderful wife, Patty. Y'all keep them in prayer. For Pastor Bob and his wife, Marcy, y'all keep them in prayer. We're praying to see them very soon. And for the Pfeiffer guy, he was here, right? Did he? I knew that I was in trouble when he wore sneakers. You got sneakers on. You're going to be left by yourself. Okay. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time, right? It's good to be here. It's good to be alive. Hello. And what about this rocking band that was playing this morning? Come on, y'all, give them a hand. Come on, give them a hand. Like, it's not easy. It's not easy. Amen. It's not easy. Can I say this? We're not in the message yet, right? We're getting the message really quickly. But it's not easy to serve God in a world like this. Serving God in this world comes with contradiction. Serving God in this world comes with conflict. Is there another assonant word that I can say right now? Serving God in this world comes with condemnation, right? Because if you serve God in this world, you will face the contradiction of tiredness. You will face the conflict of Satan. You will face the condemnation of your friends. It's not easy serving God in this world. Is that all right for you? I want to just talk very briefly about y'all. It's good to be here. It's good to see you, and thank God for Sister Katie today who led us, and Sister Rebecca who tells us what to do and what not to do over and over again. If you ever see somebody like look like they weren't doing something, it's because her husband has a loudspeaker. It's like 120. And he speaks into our ears and he says, "Praise the Lord." Play louder, play quieter, play faster, play slower. Stephen is a wonderful, wonderful guy. He is. This guy that I get to stand next to is amazing. Give honor where honor is due. I love to hear Zach, right? That's your name, Zach? It is your real name, Burton. it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I just want to focus for a few minutes. As of the time that I was writing this message, Hamas was preparing to launch a barrage of missiles, which is estimated to have been somewhere between 2,000 and 15,000 rockets, 2,000 and 15,000 rockets into Israeli territory. We mentioned this during Bible study. Don't you all don't get too bothered by what they're launching. Most of it effectively is refrigerators and trash cans. Most of it is not smart. Most of it is more like heaving junk into the sky. But if you heaved 2,000 to 15,000 pieces and particles of junk into the sky, what's effectively happened is, if you have been paying attention, the Iron Dome, which has been protecting Israel for years now, has been overwhelmed. The stock of munitions within the Iron Dome has been depleted now, to the point where Israel is reaching back out to its brothers, its friends like the United States of America, and asking for support with resupplying the Iron Dome so that the people in Israel can be protected. Is that, I just want to bring you guys up to date here, if you haven't already, by the words that have been prayed, the scriptures that have been read. Also, Hamas sent people out into the streets in Israeli territory and has kidnapped soldiers and ordinary people and dragged them through the streets, paraded them as captives. They've done this not only with ordinary people like you and I, but with military soldiers, and many have been put to death as trophies of this attack on Israel. I just want to mention this, though, to you, that God is still on the throne. I think that the scripture is right when it says that he that keeps Israel does not slumber or sleep. Is that all right? We should take heart in this. There's a God fighting Israel's battles. Amen? All of this is going on, but the Lord is her keeper. Amen? As I covered with Friendly Baptist Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, some years ago, it's preaching time. It's time for you and I to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ like we never have preached it before. I think that you can tell by the events of the last 4 or 5 years that it's preaching time. I think that you can tell by the events of this weekend that is that the time for playing around has passed. Are you here with me, somebody? But this message is meant for you today. And we're talking again about the premises, the prerogatives and purposes of preaching. I believe that our setting today is ripe with all the examples that we need. I believe that that the creating and sustaining God who paid the ransom price, the purchase price of our redemption, has literally set us on a crash course with our responsibility to preach today. He's given us all of the premise. He's given us all of the prerogative. He's given us all of the purpose. I think that you and I should know to run out of here into the streets, the highways and the byways, as it was, and tell somebody about Jesus. We should notice. It should be somewhere deep down inside of us. Here we are talking about in the book of Romans. Here we are talking about chosen people and the God that has made a universal call for salvation. Y'all were here with us last week, and we read this. We had this as our signature text last week at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. We heard the word that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We understand now Christ has performed everything required by the law. He has perfected the law. In his substitutionary death, which is to say that you sinned, I sinned, and I should have died, but Christ died as a substitute for us. We refer to that as his substitutionary death on the cross of Calvary, making salvation free to all that would call upon his name. You see it there. If you read with us, our text for today opened up with a series of verses that started the same way. And every time I get to this text in the Bible, I think because of the wonderful things he does. Da, 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 da. I told you were in real trouble today, real trouble. Jordan's back. Everybody sit up straight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Paul does this. Paul does this in a fantastic way in order to draw our attention in to his subject now. He uses a series of transitional words. We use those in our writing when we started writing our essays in high school. Our English teacher told us an easy way to continue through the process of your essay. Start your first paragraph off, and allow that first paragraph to be your theme, your basically your topic paragraph. Then support that topic with three successive paragraphs that are basically built from ideas that you stated in your first. Are y'all here with me? Did everybody drop out of 13th grade just like me? No attendance in 13th grade. You just weren't there. And so your first paragraph would start with firstly. Then your second paragraph would start with, you know, you guys are just too fast in here. And your third paragraph would, thirdly or last. Thirdly or lastly. Right. And so Paul masterfully carries us through his argument with Mary. Don't you say it. Don't you dare. Because, right? He starts off with four, which is because he's building now, right, an argument, and he starts off with four. Verse 10 is because. Y'all got it? Because with the heart, and for the Jew, the heart is the mind. The one that confesses believes with the result, the end, or unto all the way to righteousness. We should pray for right minds, not for fleshy muscles in our chests, right? Even though some of us have hearts that are skipping beats. There are more of us, we were finding out now, that have heart palpitations and issues with the heart physically now in later years. But there are those who have heart problems. And the problem is not their physical heart. The problem is the mind. And so the heart becomes the center of our sensibilities. While it cannot carry sensibilities, it pumps not sensibilities or concerns, but we can feel sensitivities and concerns in our hearts. Is that okay with you guys? And maybe you are alien to this, but when a family member has been lost, our hearts feel it. Have you ever felt that thing inside of your chest begin to translate into sensible pain, something that is going on in your mind? This Monday, I received a notification that my most close cousin passed away. And my heart hurt. My heart hurt. My mind understood it. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then after that, the judgment. But my heart physically, are you here with me, somebody? And so Paul says, for, in verse 10, with the heart, confession is made. Are you here with me? In verse 10, and I better go back into my scripture because I went off the notes trying to talk about my cousin there. Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. All the way there. And with the mouth, that is, confession is made up to, unto salvation. Is that all right? Verse 11 opens up the same way, saying, for the scripture says, and this is wonderful. This is a true reliance on the word of God. We should translate or understand verse 11 to support verse 10. So verse 10 is true because, for, are you there? The scripture says so. As believers, we have to have the word of God as our foundation. Verse 10 works because the Bible is right. Are you here with me, somebody? Listen, the reader of this or the hearer, the person that would have been hearing this, the Jew would have recognized what Paul was trying to do. He was referring to something that the word of God had already said. And a careful reader would have understood that Paul is right in what he's saying. This is what Isaiah 45:17 says. But Israel is saved by the Lord with everlasting salvation. You shall not be put to shame, or confounded to all eternity. But there's a whosoever in verse 11. There's a whosoever in there. This is the universal part that says anybody. And that's what's magnificent, that while we have a chosen people with a given purpose by God, the offer of salvation is to everyone that believes. This is wonderful. This is, somebody should have gotten out of their seats and said hallelujah already. Someone should be running around the building. Where are you at? Paul starts this great book in a fireworks display. He opens it by going to his box and saying, we're not going to light these one at a time. We're just going to light them all together. And here we are in 2023, and not you but me, right? Not understanding what Paul says. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation, for, because, it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Well, how's it become salvation unto the Greek? Because I'm going to show you what I will do. I'm going to show you my character. I'm going to show you my ways. I'll show you how I'm going to act in this situation. Let me select a group of people and I'll use them. The chosen people are not distinct by nature. They're distinct by calling. Oh, Jesus. They're distinct by calling. Nothing, we tried to talk to you about this in Romans chapter 10. There was nothing special about us. We are quite ordinary and becoming more ordinary each and every day. We are quite average. And if you could be more average than yesterday, you've accomplished it. You're proving yourself to be just like us. I'm proving myself to be
more than average. I'm at the right apple's core of average. And why should God use me? Because he has the power, the authority, and the prerogative to do what he wants to do. Is that all right? To do what he wants to do. We have this word as believers, sovereignty. Our God is sovereign. He can do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, the way that he wants to do it, and with whom he wants to do it, because he is sovereign. He is sovereign. He reigns on the throne of the earth. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is sovereign. And so this standpoint, this position in verse 11 works. Why? Well, verse 12 tells us why verse 11 works. Because, I like this, right? He's moving us right along. He's moving us right along with four. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Amazing. There is a genetic difference between a Jew and a Greek. There is a national difference. There's a language difference between the Jew and the Greek. But what Paul is saying is that in salvation, in deliverance from sin, in redemption from sin, the currency is the same. The currency, Donald Trump, right? You and I, right? We deal with green money, right? The currency is the same. So the Jew has to receive salvation by faith. You have to receive salvation by faith. This is what the Hebrew writer says at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that would come to him must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Contrast that with verse 40. Between verse 6 and verse 40 is a succession of individuals that the Hebrew writer is presenting to us who exercised faith in their lives. And at verse 40, the Hebrew writer says, God had planned something better for us so that together with us, they, being the Gentiles, the Hebrew book of Hebrews is written to who? Hebrews. Right? But at verse 40, he says, God had planned something better for us so that together with us, they would be made perfect. How are we made perfect? We're made perfect. We're made righteous. We're made holy by faith. This is what the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith and not of works. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. There's no reason for us to be proud about it. There's no reason for us to promenade in front of one another, because we all receive salvation using the same dollar bill. We all receive salvation by faith. Amen? And so we arrive here at verse 12 through a succession of Paul's transitional phrases, one proving the other one, proving the other one, all the way down to verse 13, where the scripture says again, for, I like that, right? All of this works, everything before it works because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the universal part. Whosoever means anybody, but I want to clarify this. God calls us. The saved call him back. Is that all right? I just, like, when I woke up, I just wrote that. It's just brand new. Brand new. That was probably for the shower, right? Maybe I should have kept that home. God calls us. The saved call him back. Right? There's a universal call by God to anyone. God is not particular in the way that he would save one and not the other. He is particular in the way that only those who call upon him will be saved. This is wonderful. At Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, Matthew says this, that regarding Jesus, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. There's a particular part. By accepting him, by calling upon him, you become one of his people. We said this before from John chapter 1, verse 12. As many as received him, gave he power to be called children of God. Amen. This is tremendous. This God that we have, this ruler, this sovereign has chosen to make a universal call to whosoever will, and whoever calls back is saved. Listen, can I just suggest something? This is off the pages, right? When God calls you, make some time. Is that all right? When God calls you, make some time. Hi, God. That was my mother. He's still available. Hi, God. That was my job, you know. Kind of had to handle that, but... I didn't realize your call was more important than theirs. You still have time. Our lives should be centered upon calling him. Our lives should be the first early in the morning, David said. I seek him, right? We should make him priority. You know what? I decided that I'm just going to barrage heaven with my prayers. I decided that I'm going to pray without ceasing. I decided that I'm going to do just what Jesus said because I'm a man born of a woman and my days are just full of trouble that I'm just going to keep the phone. You know, I just need a speakerphone with heaven. I need a speakerphone with heaven. Hi, God, I'm still here. Cereal is it. You know, Lord, I need cereal. But listen, the Bible says here, right, at Romans chapter 10, and it's a familiar scripture to us, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My question is, have you called him yet? We're down here in the worship. We're down here. We played the music. We sang the song. But the question really is, are you sitting here because grandmom attended this church? Or are you sitting here because God called you and you decided, let me hit him up? Is the reason you're here is because you have the convenience of nothing else to do on Sunday morning? Or is it that you cannot stop calling his name? Are you here for the sandwiches and the crackers and the juice, or are you here for him? Have I told you about the wages yet? Have I told you about the wages? If you knew what the wages were, maybe you'd call more regularly. If The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Can I say this more loudly? Can I possibly provoke you to preach the message? Can I get you to recall the prerogatives? The purposes and the premises of preaching. Israel is dying today because they rejected him. We've got to preach more today than we ever did before. Missiles are flying in our world, and it's just not the time to go back home and watch Sunday afternoon football carelessly. Events are occurring in our world that relate to us. And we, the children of God, cannot go softly into the night. We must preach the gospel. Let me stop. Let me stop, because all of this is the precept, right? To Paul's continued conversation, right? He goes on further within our text, but he's given to us all of the premises for preaching. He's given to us all of the prerogative of preaching. He's given to us all of the purposes of preaching. Listen, verse 11. Whoever calls upon him, whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 11, I have to preach the gospel because whoever believes on the Lord Jesus will not be ashamed. And the concern is not just in life. The concern is being ashamed before the throne of God. Because it's appointed unto man once to die, and then after that, the judgment. Don't be ashamed before your friends and before your family and your coworkers in this world by not accepting Jesus Christ, by not proclaiming his name, because the ultimate concern is for that day when you stand in judgment before a righteous God, and on that day, you do not want to be ashamed. You want to be told, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful. My pastor told me years ago, Mike Rogers, you don't have to do anything fabulous. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. I don't want to be ashamed in that day. I don't want my mother to be ashamed in that day. I don't want my cousin to be ashamed in that day. I don't want to see another family member leave from this world not knowing whether or not they knew Jesus. I have all of the prerogative to jump on to Facebook and Instagram. Is it Instagram? This is what I'm going to do at the church. Y'all check me. I'm a Facebook them. I'm an Instagrammy them. I'm TikToking them. My wife said, she told me, she found the other day that I had an Instagram account. I said, how in the world did I get an Instagram account? What happened to Instagram? It's the AI. That's what did it, right? I don't know what some musician I tried to follow, and all of a sudden I wound up on Instagram. But I'm going back on there, and I'm going to proclaim the name of Jesus because they're dying and going to hell. I have all of the prerogative. I have all of the premise. Right, I know somebody in here. You know what is the witness premise? And don't you dare. Okay, synonym, whatever. Synonym, homonym, whatever. Spelled the same, right? Okay, right. There are premises, right? We are on the premises. I'm okay. Okay, Rogers was there. Okay, Kathy was there. Zach was there. These are the premises. Okay, yeah, that is right. Okay, all right, what is it? Homonym, Mary, help me. Synonym, homonym, it's a nim, right? Homonym, okay. right? But that we're not referring to a location. We're referring to the impetus, the reason why we do things. Those are the premises. Like my mother would ask me, I told you that if I came home and the dishes were not done, right, you were going to know about it. I had all of the premises, right? And so did she. She owned the premises, as a matter of fact. Oh, Jesus, I'm going to stop. Sister G, I'm going to stop. Let me be serious. But Paul has laid these things out for us in a way that we can now go into the second set of verses, which open up then saying, how then, why did I copy that wrong? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Premise, prerogative, purpose for our preaching is because there are some out there who don't know to call back at all because they have not believed. Is that okay with you? Is that okay? Well, the reason why they keep doing the things that they do, saying the things they say, going to the places that they go to, thinking the way that they think, is because they don't believe that God exists. I said that way because there are a group of people out here that believe that the more holy they make the name of God sound, the more holy they are for saying it. No, it's not. If you want to make God holy in your life, walk like a Christian should walk. If you want to make God holy in your life, live like a Christian should live. If you don't know what that's like, go to the book of Ephesians. Paul's really concerned with how you sit, walk, and stand as a believer. But how? How's that going to happen? How can they call on him if they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Premise, prerogative, purpose. Why are we preaching today? Why are we standing on street corners? A young man that is in here with us on Bible study Tuesday night and Wednesday night. Mark Din, you ought to, if you don't know Mark Din, come to know him, pray for him. But why is he doing it? Why are we going? Why are we facing the conflict? Why are we facing the condemnation that we face? Because there are people that have not heard of him. Now, this is strange that in the day that we are living, there are fewer and fewer people as the encroachment of Satan's wiles, his tricks, and his schemes have had their impact. Parents are no longer teaching their children who God is. And so when we mention the name of God, they don't even know who God is, that there is a God. Much less do they know the name of Jesus to call upon. And so the premise that we have, the prerogative that we have, the purpose that we have is to make sure that men know that there's a God in heaven. But knowing God is not the answer. Is that okay, guys? Knowing God, knowing that there is a God is not the answer. There are billions of theists in the world. There are billions of theists in the world. Billions of theists will die and go to hell. The truth of the matter is that unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will die and go all the way to hell. Do not pass go. Do not collect 200 at all. You must be. You've got to be born again. Born again of the water and of the Spirit. Now, we're working that out in our Bible study. Sister Katie just now giggled at me. Don't let her giggle at me. You want my wife. You're supposed to be my helpmate. I'm going over this side. I don't know you guys. All right. Karina, I was right on Tuesday, right? Thank you. Now, come to Bible study on Tuesday night. It's a real great time because Alejandro and I, right, get to just be quiet. praise the Lord. It's a good time. But, billions of theists, billions of people that believe that there is a God will die and go to hell because Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Don't let Oprah Winfrey teach you this doctrine of demons saying there's got to be more than one way. If there's more than one way, we need to take this right here, right? Put it down and go back to partying. Because if that's wrong, the foundation of our belief has been swept from under our feet. How many feet do we have? The foundation of our belief has been swept from under our feet, and we are all dead. We are all dead. The Bible says, let God be true and every man be a liar. So I will accept the word of Jesus Christ and let Oprah Winfrey and all the rest of them be liars. I'll leave them just as they are. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That means that there is only one way. That is Jesus. You must accept him. You must receive him as your Savior, or you're dying and going to hell. This is what the scripture says. How then can they call on the one in whom they have not believed? That's our prerogative. We have to make sure that we teach. We have to make sure that we preach. We have to make sure that we share, that we have to make sure that we care. Woke up this morning, why do I want to preach to Israel today? Because we care. Because every unrepentant unbeliever in Israel today, unless he accepts Jesus Christ, will die and go to hell. And that hell is not the one that you tell your coworker to go to. Okay? I can guarantee you, most of you would never tell your coworker to go there. You would never want your coworker to spend a second in that place where there's weeping and gnashing of the teeth, and a worm that's in you today will eat you. How long will it eat you? Forever. There's not that, I don't have that much of me to be eaten forever. Oh, yes, you do. Can I tell you this? This is going to be very interesting to all of you. You're going to be resurrected from the grave. You are going to be resurrected from the grave. You cannot prevent it from happening. Some will rise to everlasting life. Some will rise to everlasting death. And the worm that's in you, which I believe your conscious awareness of how many times Christ was presented to you and you refuse to receive him, will eat at you for the rest of eternity. No sleep, no rest, a consuming fire that refuses to consume you, and a worm that keeps eating at your conscience. Have you ever read Luke chapter 16? Tell me whether or not the rich man wanted to be where he was, or if he was consciously aware that I'm not in Kansas anymore. my brother and my sister. There are people dying with the instant revelation that I'm not in Kansas anymore, that I'm not on earth anymore. When you close your eyes on this side, you open your eyes in judgment. The next face that you see will be the face of God. We don't believe in soul sleep. Believers don't believe in soul sleep. We believe in an eternity that's waiting for you on the other side of when you close your eyes. When you close your eyes here, you will open them up before God. The next face that you see. So we don't want anyone to die without knowing Jesus Christ. And how can they believe on whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone to preach? And how can he preach unless he has been sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. There's an urgency. We're about to get out of here. Number one, the urgency is based on the sender. The urgency is based on the sender. Now, if your little child gave you a message, it would normally be something like this. I'm tired. I don't want to do my chores. I just want to go to sleep. You will value that message. The message is value based on who sent it. Right? And it grows in importance as your respect for that person increases. And so the value of the message from when up to when God sends you this message is of high priority and of importance. Why? Because the sender. You all okay with that? And listen, this is wonderful because my mailman delivers the mail regardless. He doesn't open the mail, he delivers the mail. If the envelope looks blue, you know, looks like it's from Publisher's Clearinghouse, whatever. It's not my message, it's his. And based on the fact that the United States government has given some postal carrier the responsibility of delivering the mailman guards the mail and makes sure that no one other than the addressee receives it to the best of his ability. Can y'all just put this on you right now? Because grandma has got to get the message because there's a God in heaven that sent it to her. And regardless of rain, snow, sleet, or hail itself, I'm going to deliver this message. My son needs to accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He will not enter into heaven because my great-grandfather was a bishop of the AME church. He will not go to heaven because my great-uncle was the 45th bishop of the AME church. He will not go to heaven because he came to Bible study, because he himself preached the message. He will not go to heaven because he cleaned the floor, swept the kitchen, cooked the food. He will not go to heaven because he gave out the announcements. He will not go to heaven because he's given the announcements. He will go to heaven because he's accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And how can he hear unless you and I, we have to preach? This is what it says. This is what Paul is saying. And how can they hear without someone to preach? Listen, before we get out of here, I want to talk about what do we preach then? What do we preach then? And preaching has taken blows in recent days. But there's nothing more important than the preached word of God. Nothing. Period. That's all there is. And so, what do we preach then? Is our message on Sunday some TED talk? Is our message on Sunday some powwow? No. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, we preach Christ and him crucified. That's what we preach. That's why your pastor mentions the name of Jesus Christ every Sunday, is because he's preaching. Now, there's a difference. Amen? When we come to the pulpit, we've not come to the pulpit for some motivational speech. Nor have we come to the pulpit to teach a Bible study. Bible studies on Tuesday night. I invite you all to come. But we preach Christ. We preach Christ and him crucified, as Paul said. Now this is tough. Jeremiah, you read it with me. Jeremiah got sick and tired of being sick, of going to the Jews and telling them the same thing over and over and over again. And this is not Bible study. This is preaching. Amen. Jeremiah said, I couldn't stop. I tried to. But this word was in me like fire. Shut up in my bones. Listen. There's got to be some, and my question today is whether or not we're actually hearing preaching in the world anymore. Because if it's preaching, it's got some motion in the steps. It's got some urgency. It's got some, I have to deliver this message right now. You got to get this before you go out the door. If it is preaching at all. If it's a motivational speech, hey. We've been reading from the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. And I just mean to say this, that Ezekiel understood in Ezekiel chapter 3 that he as the mail carrier didn't have the responsibility of the reader's response. He had the responsibility for delivering the mail. He had no culpability. He was not going to be held accountable for what the hearer did with the word that he was given. But he was responsible for giving the word. Is that okay with you? Listen. I feel that there are many of us, ministers of reconciliation, who are looking at the person that God has just now said, preach righteousness to, and we've gone, nah, I saw her before. She's mean as a junkyard dog. Badder than old King Kong. Right? And I'm not saying anything. Listen, Ezekiel understood that when God gave him a word to say to somebody and he did not say it, that all of the responsibility for what happened with that person would fall upon him. I wonder why Roger's coming here and he's preaching like he may never, ever preach again. That's because God has a message for you today. You must accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Unless you do, you will die and face a fiery death forever. But God commends his love for us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isaiah said this, whose report will you believe? For he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was placed upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. This is wonderful. I dare not allow a single Israeli to go to hell and to pay the price of a fiery death without understanding that Christ already did it. Paul says this in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. What you've got to do before you leave this side of life, right, is get yourself in Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I want to leave you right now with the urgency of preaching. There's a number of close to 7 billion people that are in the world today. Close to 7 billion people that are in the world today. A goodly number of them don't know Jesus. And unless, did we get to the verse? How can he preach unless he be sent? Can this be a send off? Could this be a send off? I don't know. Maybe a reminder, a recommissioning. Because if you just went. You would go haphazardly, but if you were sent, you would go with importance. There are people outside dying, and they don't know Jesus Christ. There may be somebody inside this room right now that has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord. The Bible says, how can they hear without someone to preach? And how can they preach unless they be sent? I've been sent today as your gospel messenger. And I've come to tell you, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believe in him would not perish. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved. If you say that you have no sin, you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. But if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So the contrary is true. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God commends his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God has given us this message today. And so if you have been here today and you've heard this message and you decide within yourself, I've got to ask this Jesus into my heart. We're here to pray with you. Lord, we thank you again for this opportunity to share this message with your people. We thank you, God, for giving us all the premise, all the prerogative, and all the purpose for our preaching. There's a dying world out there. The chosen people are facing war today. We understand that the one that keeps Israel does not sleep. We thank you right now. We ask, God, that you would just move on the behalf of these people, this stiff-necked generation, this stubborn nation, that even today has not accepted your son, Jesus Christ, not because of who they are, but because the fact that you've chosen them. And we'll understand your strength and power, your ability, your compassion, and what you will do for us through the way that you fight for your people. And so we bless you, God, again today. We ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
February bombs were heard, fearful that the earth had stirred. We never